I want to ask you a question. The first question is this. How many of you need a breakthrough today in prayer? Well, question. How many of you got some kind of need today? All right, question. How many of you know somebody else that has a need? All right, good. Finally, some of the hands are raised. I was beginning to wonder. Anyway, we all have needs. We all need breakthroughs. We all believe. Do you really believe? Hey, look, listen. Do you really believe that prayer changes things? Do you really believe that? But do you really believe that prayer changes you and it changes me? That's really what prayer does. It changes me and it changes you. And there is power, no doubt, in prayer. But make no mistake about it. Prayer is work. It is work. W-O-R-K. And I've got a feeling that's maybe why some people don't pray. It's because it requires a little bit of effort. And focusing your mind. And laying aside the distractions. Can I ask you a personal question? Have you prayed today? Have you really prayed today? How many of you, don't raise your hand, how many of you prayed today? How many of you, who have you prayed for today? Have you been so busy you got up, man, you had to head to work, head to church, get ready and come to church? Question. Now, I'm not being legalistic here. Do you pray every day? Do you pray just when you feel like it? Do you have a routine of your prayer time? Do you start off the day in prayer? I want to challenge you and me. I want to challenge every one of us today to make a commitment to pray more than you're praying right now. Fact is, all of us probably could use a little bit of work on our prayer life. Amen? Y'all are quiet on me. All of us could use a little work on our prayer life. And so I want to ask you, I want to encourage you now. Now, I know some of us say, well, I've got more time than others to pray. But the fact is, some of us hadn't prayed today. We just got so busy, or maybe we threw up a Hail Mary, or maybe we said the blessing at the meal. And that's good. But have you prayed besides saying the blessing at the meal? And so today, I believe the Lord, and I'm praying for a breakthrough in your prayer life. That's the title, Katie, a breakthrough in your prayer life. We need a breakthrough in our prayer life. We're so busy. We're running here, doing this. But see, the Lord is wanting to answer prayer in our lives and in our families. But we've got to commit to it. I want to challenge every couple here to spend some time praying every day. Every day, I want to encourage you and challenge you every day. Now, you might not be able to be together. You might have to call on the phone. You might have to, whatever you have to do. Social media, it doesn't matter. Just spend some time praying together. Praying for your spouse. Praying for your children. How many of you prayed for your children this morning? How many laid your hands on them and prayed for them? How many prayed for your grandchildren this morning? Oh, listen, a breakthrough in prayer. I love the story of this little boy. He is at a prayer meeting and he's over in the corner. He's all by himself, and he's saying something that's strange in this prayer meeting. He's reciting the ABCs. You can hear him saying, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And somebody says, Son, what are you doing? He said, I don't know how to pray. He said, so all I'm doing is offering the alphabet up to God, praying that He'll put these letters together and make a prayer out of it. He missed it a little ways, but he really didn't miss it a little ways. The fact is, we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. That's why Jesus' disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Say that with me. Lord, teach us to pray. Say it again. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I know you've read books about it, and I know you can tell me about prayer. But I'm not asking if you read books about it, and I'm not asking if you know about prayer and that you use the word prayer. I'm asking, do you really pray? And for who do you pray? And are you praying, and are you asking God to teach you to pray? The Scripture says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We know not how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Because he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're looking at a Bible passage today And I believe there are two reasons why you need to pray today for your breakthrough. I'm convinced we need some breakthroughs today. I'm convinced that all of us here have somebody on our mind or heart. And there are two reasons why you ought to pray. Number one, how can you and I get a breakthrough today through prayer? How can you and I get a breakthrough today when you pray? And then number two, the second reason why you and I ought to commit more to spend time with the Lord is, what are the keys? What are the keys to your breakthrough today when you pray? I want to invite you to turn to the book of Psalm chapter 4. In the book of Psalm chapter 4, here's some insight the Lord gave me this week to give to you concerning this matter of a breakthrough in prayer. Oh, we talk about it, we read about it, we teach about it, we preach about it. But the question is, how much time are we setting aside every day, throughout the day, to commune with our living Lord? In the book of Psalm chapter 4, I want to read chapter 4. And if you would like, would you stand please as we read the wonderful word of God? A breakthrough in prayer. And here is David, no doubt, is the author of this particular psalm. And I've never preached from Psalm 4 before. The Lord reminded me as I was looking at this and studying and praying and asking God for application. Notice in chapter 4 of the book of Psalm, Psalm chapter 4. If you're there, say amen. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast, underline this next word, enlarged me when I was in distress. Underline that word, distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, pause. But know, I love verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. See that? The Lord set apart him that is godly for himself. Don't you want to be godly in this ungodly world? Look at verse 4. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. You know that word be still means? Somebody put it this way. Shut up. Shut up. Hey, be still. Stop talking and get quiet. That's what God is saying. Be still. Shut up. Be still. Now, I didn't say it, but a translator translated that. Shut up. Be still. And be quiet. And stop talking and start listening and start communing. Oh, yes, we do talk when we pray, obviously. Look at verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. Let's say that together. Put your trust in the Lord. Say it again. Put your trust in the Lord. One more time. All right. Put your trust where? In the Lord. All right. And David, the psalmist, said in verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now, let me just pause right here to simply say that more than likely David is on the run, and according to most scholars, Absalom is usurping authority, overthrowing, or at least trying to overthrow his father's kingdom. And it's a time of distress for David. Yet David understood where his strength lied. And David found security in the Lord. Listen to me. Don't miss this. And then we're going to pray. David was not trusting in the riches back in his palace, even though he was hiding in a cave. He knew that one plus God is majority. That's where our help comes from. That's where our strength comes from. The Lord. That's where our hope comes from. Oh, yes. David understood that material blessings might be good, but when the bottom falls out, you need God. Amen. And that's what David was seeking, saying, God, I'm satisfied in you. I'm happy in you. The reason some of us aren't happy today is because we're looking for other things to bring happiness and temporary satisfaction in our life. And it'll just bring a moment of satisfaction, but nothing like the eternal satisfaction that God gives us. Now keep reading. Verse 7. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. David's saying, even the Feast of Tabernacles doesn't even compare to our living God. Now, closing by verse number 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Good night for the Christian. You want to take notes? That'd be a good place to say good night for the Christian. Some of us are having a hard time sleeping. I know last night I was up at 3 o'clock. I went to bed about 1. Got up at 3. I could not sleep. And so just prayed through the night and said, Lord, there's no need to try to rest. I just got to look forward to in the morning. And God reminded me of this passage right here. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Father, teach us to pray. And I pray today you'll, Father, not allow us to look at anybody else, but to look at ourselves and look at you and look at your word and know, dear God, that you've got much, much more in store for us and for your people as we trust you. Now, Lord, somehow stretch us today. Somehow motivate us today. Somehow turn us today. Somehow give us undivided attention to your way, your will, for your glory. And we love you and bless you today for what we've already heard, what we've done. And we ask you, God, to change our heart. Help us to get our priorities in the right place. Lord, there's some time that I could be spending elsewhere doing other things. And I'm sure there's other people here. In fact, Father, every one of us here could try to redeem the time, what time we've got here on earth each day, 24 hours. And Father, help us to put the main thing in. The main thing is to keep the main thing, and it's you, our Lord, and your will for us, your plan, your purpose, and fellowshipping with you every day. So God, we give you glory now for changing us. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's here, and I bless you for the homes. I bless you for the children, the grandchildren, dear Lord, the extended family, mamas and daddies, grandparents. And God, we just honor you today, and we pray as a church, Father, you'll teach us to pray. You said, Jesus, men ought always to pray and not to faint. So God, in the tough times and the hard and difficult, stressed society in which we live, we pray that you'll call us aside even this very day to draw near to you and to wait upon you and to lay our petitions and burdens at your feet, because Lord, it's all about you. And we thank you now for the blood, the cross, the empty tomb. We thank you for your word, and we thank you for the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Breakthroughs in prayer. Here's where we're going today, beloved. Breakthroughs in prayer. And I don't know about you, but more than likely, every one of us could use some help in the area of prayer. Breakthroughs in prayer. Now, look at verse chapter 4, and again, follow with me as we talk for a little while on the subject of how to have your breakthrough today in prayer, when you pray. How to have your breakthrough today in prayer. All right, for some reason this is not working, so we'll go to plan B. Katie, if you would, just bring that up manually. Psalm chapter 4. Here is what the Lord showed me. I need you to look at the screen for a moment. Next slide. Bring up that whole slide, please. In chapter 4, you can see me walking back there before at the last song. What I'm doing is trying to get this set where to be set, but inevitably, it has a mind of its own. Amen. Hey, here, I want you to use the word acrostic pray. P, look. R, look. A, look at the screen. Y. Here is point 1.1. How can you have a breakthrough today when you pray? And then in a moment, we're going to look at something else, and that is another word. And it's S-E-L-F. But for right now, I want you to pay attention to this word, pray. As I was thinking about it, how to have a breakthrough when you pray. Breakthrough in your prayer life. And here is the acrostic, P-R-A-Y. First of all, let's go to this first letter. The word P, or the letter P, stands for praising God for who He is. Praising God for who he is. Write that out if you would. You got notes there where you're at. And I find that in verse 6 and verse 7 of Psalm chapter 4. And let me just go ahead and give you the quick overview of this. And then next, we're going to look at the R, which stands for not only praising God, P, for who he is, but R, we'll look at it in a moment, rejoicing in what he's done. And then I'll let you know the more letters as we go along. If I give them to you now, you'll get bored by the time I get through them, so I'm going to hold off on that. Number one, P, praising God for who he is. Look at verse 6 and 7 of Psalm chapter 4. I hope you brought your Bible with you. 6 and 7. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thy light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. You see, David's saying this. There are many people that are gloomy and doomy. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people today that are sad and depressed and discouraged. I would be, too, if I wasn't a Christian. I wouldn't have any hope if I didn't have Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And the reason some of us may be down is because perhaps we're just not exactly where God wants us to be. That doesn't necessarily mean that just because you're down. But here David is saying he's on the run. Get the picture. He's left his palace. He's not in his royal apparel. Yet he is in a cave somewhere and he's saying this. People are discouraged. I mean, people are down. But God, lift up the countenance of your light upon us. I want to tell you something. When you get down, you don't have to stay down because God will get you back up. You might get down. Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down. Sometimes I'm low to the ground. But thank God you can always encourage yourself in the Lord. I said you can always encourage yourself in the Lord. I said that God is good to us, and if we'll just start counting our blessings and thanking God what he's done and who he is, it'll bring you up out of the pit of despair, and it'll cause you to start singing and shouting and thanking God. Instead of moaning and groaning, we ought to be saying, Lord, you are wonderful, altogether lovely, and I bless you, Lord, because you're a great God. Yes, you are, Lord. And so today, what you need to do, whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, do it until you feel like it. Thank him, praise him for who he is. We were at a eating a meal the other night. Dan and I sat down to eat a meal. I was gone most of the week, but we had two nights to eat supper together. And as we were sitting there eating supper, the phone rang. And it was a person on the other line, and they said to Deanna, said, I'm sorry, I just need to apologize. And she said, for what? She had been talking with this particular person earlier in the day, and the other person on the other line said, I've been negative, and I was real negative in front of you about the church I go to. She didn't go to church here, but went to a church somewhere else. And she said, the lady said to Deanna, said, I've just really been negative and I've been critical and I was complaining. And said, you know, I just got to thinking about it. I've just been saying bad things about the things going on. And God just spoke to my heart and said, you shouldn't be complaining all like that. You shouldn't be whining. You ought to be shining. And she said to her, I just want to confess that to you. And of course, sometimes we all have our moments, if you will, our bad hair days. I don't believe some of you have bad hair days, but anyway, some of us do every once in a while. But you know what? I got to thinking about it. Hey, look, if you can't speak a good word for your church, don't say anything at all. Just don't say anything at all. I mean, today it's easy to be negative. Hey, look at me. I can find fault with you. You can find fault with me. You can find fault with something going on in New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, but you can't find fault with Jesus. You can't find fault with him. You never will be able to. And so here's the deal. Instead of looking at me, instead of looking at your brother and sister and being critical toward them, we need to look to Jesus. And that'll solve that critical spirit, that judgmental spirit of whining about something and complaining about something. And can I get more personal? Have you been whining about something going on in the church or something that's not going on in the church or something somebody said or something somebody didn't say? Hey, life's too short to go around with a chip on your shoulder. Amen. And again, you can be Mr. and Mrs. Critic if you want to be, but you're going to live a miserable life. I came to tell you today that you and I will have a breakthrough today in prayer when we will, number one, praise God for who He is. He is a great God. And if we'll start praising Him, then we'll stop being negative about this and negative about that and critical about this. When we'll just put our eyes on Jesus and say, Lord, You are altogether lovely. You are my rock. You are my salvation. By the way, who is Jesus to you? If you just discover who He is, it will absolutely change your life and change your outlook. I love what one of our men told me the other night on Wednesday. He said, now this is just a story, of course. He said, President Trump was in the boat fishing with the Pope. And he said that the Pope's hat, you know, that little beanie hat, flew off his head. The wind blew off his head. And so President Trump got out of the boat and walked on the water and picked up the hat and brought it back to the Pope. The next day in the newspaper, it was highlighted, President Trump can't swim. Isn't that about the size of it? Come on. It's easy to be negative, folks. Isn't it? It is. It's easy to be negative. But what we need today is a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough today. We need a breakthrough. We need to, and hey, I get negative. You're not the only one. I get negative too. You get negative. Don't act like you don't. Don't act like you're self-righteous and you never do that. You know you get negative. You know we all have our negativity and our criticism. And then I just have to get right with God. And that's what God's saying to you today. Don't stay negative. Stop fighting with your spouse and being negative. Or if you're going to look for the bad things all the time, picking up dirt all the time like a vacuum cleaner, you're going to live a miserable life. But God says we ought to praise Him for who He is. I want to tell you today, I don't know about your God, but my God is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd? He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. You see, with Jesus, there is perfect satisfaction. There's nothing else can satisfy you like Jesus. I said there's nothing else that'll satisfy you like the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's say that together. The Lord is my shepherd. One more time. The Lord is my shepherd. You see, there's perfect satisfaction. There's perfect direction. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. There is perfect preparation. He prepares a table before me. There's perfect protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's perfect restoration. He restores my soul. And there's perfect celebration. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beneath me are green pastures. Beside me are still waters. With me is my Lord. Before me is a table. After me are surely goodness and mercy. But beyond me is the house of the Lord forever. I want to tell you something. When we take our eyes off of our present circumstances and the things that aren't going good, and we start looking to the Lord, we will begin to praise Him because He is our rock and our salvation. He is Jehovah Jireh. We might not have all of our wants, thank God, but He supplies all of our needs. Somebody ought to say amen. He said, I'll give you what you need, maybe not what you want. And if we'll start praising Him, our prayer life will begin to develop. I'm telling you, you will have a breakthrough today in your prayer life. Can I be more specific? Instead of taking a grocery list to God and telling Him about all your needs, we ought to do that. But may I make a suggestion? Today, how can you have a breakthrough today when you pray? If you'll praise God today, when you, in a moment, I'm calling you to pray. I believe the Lord's calling us to pray. When you, right in a moment, you'll begin to, before you do anything else, today, you just start off your prayer time with praise to the Lord. It'll change your prayer life. I guarantee you, it'll change your prayer life. Oh, don't let your mind think of all the negative things that you've been fussing about and discouraged about. Start praising the Lord. Look up here. Praising the Lord because of who He is. Amen and amen. Number two, not only a breakthrough in prayer when we praise the Lord for who He is. But number two, rejoicing in what He's done. I love verse 1. Look back at verse 1 of the text in Psalm chapter 4. Rejoicing in what He's done. Look at this. In verse 1 of the text of Psalm 4, David said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou," I love this part, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." You see that word distress? That word means when I was in a tight place, when I was under pressure, when I didn't see any way clear, Brother Curtis, when I just was ready to give up, Sister Mary. God said, David said, "I was in distress, but when I was in distress, God enlarged me." Wait a minute, somebody's got to get a hold of that in a moment. But keep reading. "Have mercy upon me," verse 1, "and hear my prayer." I want to tell you something today. When we pray, we'll have a breakthrough in our prayer life when we not only praise God for who He is, but when we rejoice in what He's done. David put it this way. He said, "Man, I'm troubled on every side." And Paul put it that way. "I'm troubled on every side, yet not in distress, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken." Hey, can I ask you a question? Does it seem like every once in a while you take one step forward and then two steps back? Is anybody here today feeling the pressure? David said, "I was under distress." It's kind of like a balloon. When you blow up that balloon and it expands and the pressure inside of that balloon. David said, "I'm feeling the pressure." Is there anybody here that says, "Man, the bills keep rolling in. I don't know how we're going to pay everything that we need to pay." Is there anybody here that says, "Bless God, I'm feeling the pressure of my job and my family. The children are getting older and I'm having stress by having to deal with my physical problems and my family, all their needs and everything going on." Oh, listen, God said, when that happens, if you'll just rejoice today as you pray, if you'll not only praise God for who He is, but if you'll rejoice in what He's done. I don't know about you, but can I testify that there God has taken me more places than I'd ever dreamed I would ever go on my own. And I want to tell you something. God is able to enlarge your coast. The Lord is able to do more things in you and through you that you have never thought about. And that's when you're going through that test, that trial of your faith, that God will enlarge you. That's what David is saying. I was at a hard place. I was at a time when I didn't understand what was going on. Have you ever been there? Have you said, "God, I can't figure it out. I don't know, God, why you're allowing me to be put in the furnace of affliction. But God, I see your hand at work. I see, dear God, that you hadn't left me alone." Hey, can I ask you a question? Have you ever been left alone? You think by yourself? No. If you're a child of God, He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." If you're a child of God, God said, "All those bad things that are happening to you, I will work them for good." Oh, yes. Your prayer life, you can have a breakthrough today. You see how you can have a breakthrough today? You start rejoicing in the Lord for what He's done. How many can look back and say, "God sure has answered prayer in my life. He's answered prayer in my family." Has God answered prayer in your family? Chloe's sitting right here today on the second row. It was about just a few weeks ago. Young man, as I was telling you to pray for Scott Fairburn in the hospital and ICU at Newton General / Piedmont Hospital, her and Chris and I, after the service, met there in the hall. And the doctors were not given a whole lot of good information, to be honest with you. Liver shutting down. And anyway, I've not talked with Chloe in about a week or so. But is Scott still home? Coming home next week from the hospital. I said he's coming home from the hospital. Bless the Lord. Hey, if that was your son, you'd be jumping up and walking these chairs. If that was your grandson, you'd be shouting the victory. Tell you, God, can you look back on your life and see that God has answered prayer? Anybody? Can you see that God has been good? And look at the health that we are enjoying. Hey, how many know we take our health for granted? You just let something happen, all right? You let something happen, and all of a sudden, we're awakened to the fact that we are not invisible, but we are mortal beings, and sometimes our health fails us. So, having said that, we ought to thank God. We ought to stop right there and have a shouting spell. Thank you, Lord, for my health. I said you ought to lift up your hands, thank God, right now for your health. Amen. You ought to say, God, thank you for the help you give me. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you, Father. I don't want to take it for granted. I don't want to take you for granted. I tell you, dear God, tomorrow I might not be able to get out of the bed. Today I might not make it home. But God, you've been good so far. You brought me here thus far. And I believe your grace is going to lead me home. And I don't care if anybody else praises you or not. I'm going to praise you anyway. Yes, I'm going to praise you anyway, Lord. It doesn't matter if my neighbor doesn't. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. All right? Next. Notice, not only rejoicing in what he's done and praising him for who he is. A, I like this. If you'll zero in on verse 5, you find out that we should always trust in him. That's right. Always. A stands for always trust in him. Look at this verse 5. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. That is, how many of you got a heavy burden today? How many are burdened about somebody you know that's not saved, not a Christian? And you say, dear God, I can't live like this. I need to get a hold of you. I need to cry out to you. I'm telling you this. When you need to lay your burden on the Lord, he said, cast it upon him because he cares for you. I'm glad to tell you our God can carry the heavy end, brother. And you just think you can't keep on keeping on. God said, hey, just let me take that burden. I tell you, the Lord Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'm going to give you rest. The fact is, some of us carry those heavy burdens. You weren't meant to carry that heavy burden. It will debilitate your health. How many know that it's better just to take that thing to the Lord and leave it there? Amen and amen and amen. So, one, you want to have a breakthrough in your prayer life today? Praise God for who he is. Rejoice in what he's done. Always trust him. Question, are you trusting in him? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let's say that together. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. One more time. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Not with half of it. Not with just a part of it. And lean not in your own understanding in all of your ways. All of your ways. All of your ways. Acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. Trusting in God. Can I say he's trustworthy? Yes, he is. He's trustworthy. You might not be able to trust this person or that person, but you can trust the Lord. Now, Y stands for yield to his will. Yield to his will. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Follow with me in verse 8. Look at this. Yield to his will. You're going to have a breakthrough through prayer today. I promise you, on the basis of the Word of God, if you follow these principles, not because I said it, but because they're biblical, because they're rooted in who God is, they're rooted in what God has done, they're rooted in Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can have a breakthrough today in your prayer life today. And that's the message that God's put on my heart. I need a breakthrough. You need a breakthrough. We had a wonderful time Thursday night praying, and this message was birthed out of Thursday night, the matter of prayer and the breakthrough in prayer. Will you yield to his will? Can I tell y'all something happened to me just a few weeks ago? It was on Monday, 2 weeks ago. I got up on Monday and I was scheduled to go down to support the camp meeting in Callahan, Florida. In return, those pastors and those musicians will come and bless us in April. We wouldn't be able to put a camp meeting on like this. The cost of it, I go and pay my way, and they come and pay their way. It's just a blessing. But I feel the need to go support their camp meeting so that when they come, the pastors will come from Florida, Georgia, they'll pay their motel, they'll pay their gas, and that's the way we got it set up. So anyway, 2 weeks ago, I was scheduled to go down to Callahan, Florida, Live Oak Baptist Church. I got up on Monday morning, and I was a little tired. How many know what I'm talking about? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. I was a little tired. I'm just telling you, I'm just being transparent, all right? I'm just being transparent. And my flesh said, you got too much going on. You need to do this and that and that. You need to catch up on this, that, and the other. And after all, you need to probably just, you know. My flesh was saying that. I was about to talk myself out of going. How many know what I'm talking about? But the spirit was saying, do you want a blessing? Do you want a blessing? Do you want a blessing? You know, and I finally yielded to the will of God. I said, dear God, my flesh wants to stay. How many know it's nice to sleep in your own bed? Let me see your hand. But my spirit was saying, you want a blessing? Do you really want a blessing? Obey me. Last week we talked about obedience always brings blessings. Let's say that together. Obedience always brings blessings. One more time. Obedience always brings blessings. Every time. And we might not feel like obeying, but do it anyway because blessings will come. I want the blessings of God. Can I tell you what happened? Now, y'all going to think I'm crazy here in a moment. I drove down to Live Oak on Monday. I said, dear God, I'm going to go. I want your blessings. And I was praising the Lord. God has a way of refreshing my heart. And as I was driving down the road, and the Lord was showing me things that I wouldn't normally see. It's a blessing to me when God does that. Anyway, I got down there at Live Oak on Monday night, and the pastor asked me to come and speak. And it's about a little over 650 mile drive there and back. So I got down there on Monday night, and the pastor asked me to speak and pray for the congregation. And I was not sure why I was staying. Here's the point. Well, sometimes you go to these camp meetings, people in the church will have homes and they'll let you stay in their homes. I've got some churches that I already know that they got a home available for me to stay in. This particular church, I didn't. So I just was going by trusting God. Sometimes you just trust God by faith. And if you've been on the mission field, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just got to trust God by faith. You don't have everything figured out. You don't have everything going on. And sometimes you just have to step out in faith saying, dear God, I know it's an awkward place for some of us because we want to have everything figured out. But sometimes, in this particular case, I was just praying about it and trusting God, knowing that God was faithful. Amen. How many believe God's faithful? Well, I got down there, and then the end of the service was over. And so what do you do when the service is over? You go to McDonald's. Amen. So I went to McDonald's, and I grabbed me a chicken wrap. I got to watch them French fries. Amen. They're good, but I got to watch them. But anyway, they didn't have a lot of restaurants. And then I'm praying to God, where you want me to stay? I saw a motel there. They said they didn't have any room. I said, that's fine. It was a little small motel. I stayed there the year before. But anyway, or maybe 2 years ago. But anyway, so I get on the road. I'm going to Yulee, Florida. Anybody know where Yulee, Florida? Y-U-L-E-E. God bless you. Melissa and Andy know where Yulee, Florida is. Anyway, it's about 30 miles away from when I was at this church. And I'm riding along, paying attention, minding my own business, eating my chicken wrap, drinking my tea. And all of a sudden, the car gets behind me. And the blue light special turns on. Blue lights. I'm thinking, Lord, why is it I come down here to Florida and I get pulled over every time I go down to Florida? I think it's the Georgia tag. Can I get a witness? I think it's the Georgia tag. I really do. I know there's rivalry down there. But anyway, this law enforcement officer, deputy, sheriff deputy, pulled me over and had the blue lights going. And I've learned some things over the last 6 months. God is teaching me some things. I didn't know this, but I learned when you get pulled over by the law enforcement, you put your hands on the steering wheel. How many knew that? One, y'all better take note. You may not have learned anything else this morning, but you better learn this, all right? Put your hands on the steering wheel. Why? Because that, right, Justin? Come on, Brother Walter, right? You put your hands on the steering wheel. That way, when they come up to your car, you're not having your hand down. It's dark. They can't see. They got a flashlight. So I put my hand on the steering wheel. I'm coming back to that. And a man comes up to the door. He's a real nice young man. I said, we talked for a little while. He said, sir, I pulled you over because your license plate light was out. I said, really? I didn't know that. I didn't until I was pulled over about a year ago, and it was out then, too. Can I get a witness? Hey, listen. It was out. Honestly, I didn't say I didn't know it was out. I just looked at him like, really? Yeah, I remember now. I got pulled over last year with the same thing. Oh, Pastor, help me. But anyway, But really, so he pulled me over, and he said, well, who, you got to, you know, look for this, that, and other. Anyway, he went back to his car. He came back up to the window, and he said, you know, this ticket will cost you about $900 in Florida. I believe he said $900. He said, but I'm going to let you go. I said, hallelujah. Then, you know what? I looked at him. I said, now, can I ask you a question? Guess what I asked him? I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes, I am. His name is Stephen Daniel Jones. I said, how can I pray for you? He said, my mama. Pray for my mama. Anyway, so we prayed. He's standing out there by the roadside. Cars are going, shoo, shoo, shoo. And I'm praying for this deputy sheriff. You'd have had to been there. It's one of those situations. Bottom line is I went to a motel, got to the motel desk where I was staying in Yulee after I was released. Not in captivity, but anyway, released. And I got up to the motel, to the desk, and a young lady was up there, and she was getting ready to get off. It was about 11 o'clock at that time, and I said, I'd like a room. It was $119. I said, I don't care. I just need a room. I don't care how much it costs. Give me a room. I'm ready to sleep. I'm in order of money. I'm ready to settle down. And then the Lord opened the door. Guess what I had the chance to ask her? Are you a Christian? She said, no, I'm not a Christian. I said, really? Why not? And she said, well, I don't believe in organized religion. I said, well, I don't either. Hey, that makes us even, right? Anyway, she said, well, I'm in a hurry. You know when they start backpedaling and they don't want to talk. You know how that goes. Anyway, bottom line is I talked with her for a few minutes about Jesus. I encouraged her. She said she'd studied world religions and blah, 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 blah. And she's busy. She's about 1 or 2 minutes before she gets off to work. Didn't have good quality time. And the Lord put in my heart and said, but you know what, son? I had you to write a book. And I said, why don't you give her that book? I said, thank you, Lord. I asked her, I said, can I leave something with you? She said, yes. And so I went out back to the car and got the book that the Lord had me to write, gave it to her, gave her my email. I'm believing she's going to email me one of these days, and God is going to do that. I said all that to say this. Hey, look, breakthroughs through prayers. I'm going to close right here. S stands for surrender. That's what I did when I put my hands on the steering wheel. Question, do you surrender daily to the Lordship of Christ? Do you surrender to His will for you? Surrender. You see, breakthroughs through prayer. Surrender. Do you do that on a daily basis? Next, E, emptied of self. Emptied of self. Do you take your place in the cross? I wish I had time to develop that. I'm just going to have to leave it with you and trust the Spirit of God will help you, as not only can you have your breakthrough in prayer today, but what are the keys to breakthroughs when you pray? And here's the key right here, self. I saw this acronym some time ago, and the Lord began to speak to my heart. Surrender to the will of God. Empty yourself of yourself and say, Lord, not my will. Like your mom did, Alice, Mary, when right before she went to be with the Lord. I was thinking about that recently. She said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Have you said that lately? God, not my will, but your will. Die to self. Took your place on the cross. My stepmother had a surgery down in Macon this week. They did some fusion bones in her neck. And what's that word they use? That they take a part of somebody who's passed away and use that? Cadaver, isn't that what it's called? You did have it too, didn't you, Pam? But here's the deal. I got to thinking about it. Somebody's passed away, but it helps somebody else. And Pam experienced the same thing. Can I tell you, when you take a place in the cross, and I take my place in the cross, and die to self, there's life in Jesus. Oh, yes, there is. And Jesus said, if any man wish to follow me, let him what? Deny himself and take up his cross daily. He that loves his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:38-39. Will you do this today? Surrender to the will of God. I mean, surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And do it. God, here am I. Lord, I surrender. I can't explain what I'm. Will you do this? Put your hands like I did on the stoop. God, I surrender. Will you do it every day? Lord, I surrender to you today. Be my Lord, be my master. And God, I take my place in the cross. And then L stands for lift up those petitions to the Lord. Take them to the Lord. And then finally, ask God, F, for filling. Lord, I take my place in the cross. But how many today need a filling, a fresh filling, a fresh anointing on your life? All of us need a fresh filling. And I want to tell you what happened to me as we get ready to have a breakthrough in prayer. I'm finishing the story that I told you earlier. I'm in Yulee, Florida. I make my way back over to the church the next morning, early in the morning, prayer time, and preaching in the morning and discipling in the afternoon. And then Tuesday night, listen, don't miss this, Tuesday night, I was saying, God, I want your blessings. Obedience brings blessings. Say it with me. Say it one more time. One more time. It always brings blessings. And on Tuesday night, the service was beginning, and they had two preachers, and the pastor asked me to preach the last message. It was about 8:15 by the time we start at 6:30. And I'm sharing with you this. God is good, isn't he? Oh, I just want to start shouting right now. It was about 8 o'clock, and I had to slip out of the... we'd been there since 6:30, and so I'd slip out. I was going to outside to the restroom. It was on the outside. I'm walking down this sidewalk. A man's walking on the other side. He's walking toward me. I'm walking toward him. I'm basically just going to the restroom a minute and go back into the service. And the man stopped me. It's dark outside. The man came up to me. I didn't know him from Adam's house cat. You know what he did? He reached in his pocket. And he said, Pastor, I want to give you something. I said, what? It was dark. I couldn't tell what he was getting. I didn't, you know, if I should put my hands up or what. Amen. And he held out his hand and he handed me a wad of cash money. I didn't know him from Adam's house. He said, you've been a blessing to us, and I want to be a blessing to you. I opened it up. God be my witness now. After the service, I preached the word of God, left and came home that night, got in early in the morning. I opened it up. And it was for the amount that I paid for the motel. They had no idea where I stayed. Nobody had no idea. It was for the amount for the gasoline. It was a mount for the motel, and it was a mount for the chicken wrap at McDonald's. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. I tell you, and God was blessing me the whole way home. Obedience always brings blessings. Let's stand together, can we?